section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Eighth annual WrestleMania wrap-up show. You're in for a real treat tonight as we have Doug, Roger, Aaron, and Andrew to discuss WrestleMania 33. So let's get into the matches and talk about, well, what happened here. So first, we had Austin Aries versus Neville. Aaron, what did you think about this match?
It was a good match. You know, you like seeing the Cruiserweights open up because they typically get the crowd excited. I thought Aries really brought a lot of great offense here, and so did Neville. This is could have gone either way. You know, and so I know when I had picked, I was kind of, you know, thinking in the moment, and I happened to pick Aries. I was wrong. Neville retained and is still the king of the Cruiserweights.
Andy, you called it first. You said that Neville would win thanks to some shenanigans, and I agreed with you. So we got that one right, and a good start-off match even for the pre-show.
Yeah, I didn't get to see this, unfortunately, as I missed the pre-show, but so I kind of got filled in. I picked Aries, but I don't have a problem with Neville winning. I think it builds his King of the Cruiserweights. I think this feud, for the moment, is done. That was kind of the reason why I thought Aries was going to win. But I think Neville can move on and continue to kind of run through the division. Maybe he can retain it all the way up until the next CWC, and then maybe he faces that winner. So, you know, it's hopefully they have a plan going forward.
Now, and I love this match. I thought it was good. I kind of like the fact that it was the curtain jerker because I was like, wow, this was a really good match. So I'm like, where can they go from here? And then, of course, they went to the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. I'm like, okay, there's no way they can screw this. So, Roger, did they screw this up?
Well, okay. First off, three of us picked Braun to win. So the idea of him going out early was really not that terrible of an idea because he was clearly the most dominant threat. We knew he was the most dominant threat, so everybody else knew he was the most dominant threat. What my issue is that the guy you're going to put your stock behind is Mojo Rawley. Like, are you telling me that you see a future with him and he is a future Intercontinental Champion? Like, look, Gronkowski in his spot, I have no problem with. That's a good move. But Mojo Rawley is, to use the Stephanie McMahon line, he's a C-minus player. He is not a guy that you build a show around. He's not a guy you build a division around. And he had no business winning this when you had people who are actually worthwhile, like Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman and even Big Damo. Like, no. Like, Gronkowski could have done this spot and Mojo could have still got tossed. Bad move. Very bad move.
I kind of agree with what Roger said. This was, I thought this was really going to be a Braun Strowman versus Sami Zayn kind of thing. And it was going to come down to those two. And Zayn was going to do one of those, oh, I'm going to follow all the way to the ropes and then pull it down and Braun would go over. That's why I thought Zayn would win. Braun going over at the very beginning, or shorter towards the beginning. The only thing I thought was that maybe this is going to set up Braun coming out later. And we'll see what happens after that. But Mojo, I understand it, the build of it, and you know you're going to see this all over ESPN, Rob Gronkowski at WrestleMania. You're going to see it all over the Yahoo thing. You're going to go see it on everything. It's clickbait. So it serves its purpose. I'm not happy with it because, again, this is going to go to somebody who probably – I mean, he can't even grab a copper ring probably. So
yeah, the one thing I would say about this – when you look back at the winners, unfortunately, they really haven't done much. To Roger's point from last year, he had mentioned that this is a point in time where you have legends come back and they could theoretically get the win, you know, because it's kind of a feel-good moment. Big Show winning it was a feel-good moment. I think last year Kane should have won it. That would have been a good send-off for him. And Braun should have won it this year because it would have been a, look, this is somebody we're putting our stock behind. This is a person that we feel could be the next big guy. Because then you have Big Show, Kane, and Braun, three big guys in a row for a battle royal. That makes perfect sense. Mojo, I don't think was a good move, but I agree to your point, Doug. It will be on ESPN and all the other places.
And to point that out, it was on ESPN because I was like, are you kidding me? They're probably going to put this on ESPN. And not
to
even
Doug's point even further, you could have had Gronkowski win this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would have been the perfect story to let him be the celebrity entrant and he wins the match.
Yep.
Perfect.
And I like the fact that security came over like, no, you're not supposed to be in there. And then they had to bring other people around and be like, no, he can come in.
Kayfabe is alive and well.
Yes, it is.
Because if I want to stop Gronkowski, I send a 5'3 woman. That is who I think is going to stop a Mack truck of a human being.
It was kind of funny if you watched when the referee's kind of holding her back in the corner and Rob Gronkowski's getting ready to do his little shoulder tackle. Both of them are laughing at the point. And it's like, yep, there it is. You made your WrestleMania moment right there, security person.
Oh, man.
He's a huge man. Let me say that, like, he made some of those wrestlers look small.
Yeah, I didn't think he was that tall. And I'm just.
He's 6'7, legit. Like, not like WWE 6'7, where you're really 6'3. He's legitimately a big guy.
Right.
Oh, man. I would love to see him in a ring at some point and just to see how he reacts and jumping around and then getting blown up, you know, on the way to the ring. So the next match, I was surprised they had this. They moved the IC title match to the pre-show. So we had Dean Ambrose take on Baron Corbin. And Roger, you're the only one who picked this. What'd you think?
Well, for one, and this is one of my things that I talked about kind of either in our picks or our pre-show, is that Ambrose deserved better than this. And when I said better than this, I was talking about just an IC match at Mania. To be kicked to the pre-show to me is a bit insulting considering the work that he did. I thought he was, you know, the second guy on SmackDown. He should have had a better match, you know, placement. Like, he deserved to be on this card, especially when you had a match like the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Could have easily been kicked to the pre-show and no problem. But the reason I picked Ambrose was the same reason that I think he won, is that if you're moving Corbin forward as one of the guys, it should mean something. You don't have him beat Ambrose in the pre-show for the IC title. This just doesn't matter. So this is a perfect time for Ambrose to get the retain. You know, maybe at Money in the Bank, he'll get the win. But this wasn't the time for Corbin to go over. So Ambrose won.
I agree with Roger. The one thing, if I knew that this was going to be a pre-show match, I would have picked Ambrose, because Corbin is not going to win this on a minor stage. He's going to win it on a big stage. But of course, we didn't know that. But, you know, either way, not that big of a deal. Probably smart move here, though, to have Ambrose retain, to Roger's point.
Again, another kind of weird booking, I thought, too, with Intercontinental Championship being moved to the pre-show. The only thing I can think of is the second hour of the pre-show was live on USA. So I got to think that they were thinking that they need to boost the views, I guess, of USA. Let's make that a good 1 hour aspect. So what match can we put in there? Because the women's match ain't going to be that great. So let's put in the Intercontinental title match and hope that it does better. But it really didn't perform. It was not a WrestleMania caliber match, especially with the great Intercontinental matches that we've seen the last couple years. So, you know, good for Ambrose winning it. I have no problem losing this pick, but again, I don't think it furthers any storyline or even pumps up the Intercontinental title whatsoever.
And, you know, yeah, I agree. And I agree with Aaron as well. If I would have known this was pre-show, I would have picked Ambrose, because it would make sense, because you don't have him lose on the pre-show. You have him retain. And then, you know, then we, of course, went to the main show, of course, and they opened with Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles. Now, this one, you know, for me, this was okay match, but I feel bad for AJ, because I think that if he faced Randy Orton, this would be a completely different ballgame. It would have been a great match, but this was an okay match in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things about this match, too, that did have a very great false finish with Shane almost pinning AJ, you know, about midway through the match. Really good spot for sure. But this match was 20 minutes long, and I really feel like this should have been 15 minutes. You know, one of the things we're going to talk about here at the very end is the length of WrestleMania. And I think that this is one of those where this should have been a 15 minute match, plain and simple. Or this is a match that maybe shouldn't have been on WrestleMania. And maybe you put AJ in a different match. You know, you have multi-man matches that you could showcase him, or triple threat, that sort of thing. So, but good match, though, you know, because it was AJ for the most part.
Kind of a recurring theme, but I'm going to say one of the things I mentioned before, and I called it, was that we probably would see a shooting star press from Shane McMahon, kind of reminiscent of that street fight with Angle. I thought this was a quality match. I'm not surprised that it opened, because I think they deliberately put the better matches on paper up first so that they wouldn't make the poor matches that were going to close the show look as bad. So I'm not surprised on the placement of the card. I just think it's kind of AJ Styles was your MVP, and he deserved better than an opening match with Shane McMahon. But, you know, they for what they had, it was quality. Much like Aaron said, could have cut 5 minutes off of this match, or more importantly, this could have been AJ versus Cena, or AJ versus Orton, or AJ versus anybody else, where this could have been a WrestleMania-caliber match. But, you know, for what they had, it wasn't bad.
This was I was a little sad. You know, you come off the WrestleMania match with him and Undertaker, Shane and Undertaker, and you had that huge spot where he jumps off the Hell in a Cell. This one, I just don't see that huge, huge spot. He's done the elbow to the announcer's table before. He's done coast to coast before. He's done the shooting star press before. I was expecting something a little bit more out of this. It was a good start match, I guess, to get the crowd pumped because they got to see AJ Styles, who they're going to cheer for, and they got to see Shane McMahon, who they're going to cheer for. But it was just so slow of a match. I thought there was some great psychological aspects to the match at the very beginning. The whole AJ, you know, is this a fight or is this a wrestling match? Aha. And then he clubs him. I thought that was great. But overall, AJ won. So you still had the good, you know, the logical finish. And I think it just sets up the mood though for the rest of the night that everything's going to go just a little bit slower.
No, and Andy, we all picked AJ. So what was your thoughts? Like, why AJ for you?
It was simple because he jobbed to Jericho. There's no way to put it. He jobbed to Jericho. And I think it was because they didn't realize how big of a star AJ Styles was. And when he came out at WrestleMania, people were like, we want him. Push him, push him. Please push him down our throats. We would take anybody but Roman. But if we had to pick it as a fans, we would pick AJ Styles. And Aaron, I used to say that he was not wrestler of the year. I used to say that a lot. And I will say he made Shane McMahon look better than what he could have. And I think that this match, yeah, it had its moments, but realistically, I think AJ should have been wrestling Randy Orton. I will beat it into the ground. But I was glad it was over with. I was happy. So. But the next match we had KO versus Jericho. Doug, did you get to see this?
I did get to see this. This was a good match. I was a little surprised that they would have this match right after the AJ Shane. Again, you've got people that KO is going to be cheered for. You have Y2J who's going to get cheered for. So why have two matches that people are actually looking forward to seeing back to back? I mean, it really was one of those things where I think after you see the first three matches, you could have left WrestleMania happy. So great solid match, some good false finishes on that one, great back and forth through it. Is a good solid match. I think it should have been in the middle, you know, just something to give that good solid aspect of it. Wasn't the greatest match in the world, but it was still a good match. KO came out on top, a new champion. Again, solid booking on this one. What do you
and
think,
all
Aaron?
All four of us picked Kevin Owens, you know, and rightfully he won. So it was obviously good on us. 16-minute match. I think it probably could have taken off a couple minutes, you know, but, you know, it was a nice blood feud. I'm interested to see where it goes from here.
Like Doug said, this was a solid match. It wasn't a great match, which I think is what WrestleMania should be trying to produce more often than not. But I don't think it was a bad match. I think we were a little bit disappointed. Aaron had mentioned this is probably going to be the clinic of the night, and it wasn't. It was a quality main event for a lesser pay-per-view, a quality SmackDown or Raw main event. I was a little disappointed, but it wasn't like it was bad. It was solid. Again, I said this before with AJ Shane, is that they put all the good matches early. Like it was like, okay, if you went home after this, you saw the two best matches you're probably going to see. So, you know, and I think there was a reason for that. And I, you know, like you said, a lot of these matches later on, it's slow, deliberate, kind of snooze fest. And this, while wasn't maybe a 5-star classic, is entertaining action. You know, the right guy won.
And I was very happy with the outcome. There's no way I can't sit there and say anything you guys haven't already said. So having Kevin Owens as your new United States champion, hopefully he does change to the Canadian championship. Well, tonight. So, moving on, we had the Raw women's match. We had Charlotte versus Bayley versus Sasha versus Nia Jax. And I think, Roger, you called exactly what was going to happen on this match. So, what were your thoughts on it?
So, first off, let's say this. out of the four entrances, the only one who got an elaborate entrance was Sasha, which admittedly had me a little bit worried because I was like, uh-oh, they're treating her like she's the star of this match. She might win. Then we see the awesome triple powerbomb and the three ladies jump on top, and I literally lost my mind. I was like, yes, they listened and they did our ending, and that was fantastic. Wow, I was really excited about that ending because after that, the two finishes were stupid. Like, Sasha got pinned after running into the turnbuckle. Not even like running into the turnbuckle and a natural selection, just, oh, my face hit the turnbuckle. I'm out. Okay.
It was an exposed turnbuckle.
I get it, but it was, the match went 12 minutes, which means that was 9 minutes in. You couldn't take a shot to the, I mean, it was just like, come on. And then Bailey and Charlotte, we were like, oh, maybe it's going to be a belly to Bailey from the top rope. Nope. An elbow drop. An elbow drop. And mind you, not ending the streak of Charlotte, which would have been a perfect moment at WrestleMania, just to beat Charlotte again.
It was Randy Savage elbow drop.
That was.
Did she put the fingers up?
She did put the fingers up.
Oh, but she didn't pat it.
Yeah, it was a Savage elbow.
She didn't pat it, though.
Nope.
No, but for this being the Divas Revolution, and this is something that main evented Raw, and you treated them like the stars, you gave them 12 minutes with two of the dumbest eliminations I've seen. First elimination, fantastic. After that, I don't know what they were doing.
I don't know if we can really, you know, argue any of that, Roger, because I completely agree. And I mean, that's what I wrote down is, you know, it was smart booking to have all three of them jump on top of Nia Jax and put her out. I did also find it funny that Nia was gassed by the time she got to the ring. And then you had Sasha getting, you know, driven down to the ring.
A boss.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because she didn't even drive herself. She had somebody else drive her down. But I thought this was a good match, decent match. The only thing I hate about this one is this is the only one that went quick. It went way too quick for what it was supposed to be and what it was being hyped up for. You know, the three out of the four horsewomen in this match and Nia Jax, who is a monster, and then 12 minutes. And you got three eliminations in 12 minutes. This was one of those matches that could have been a lot better. It was one of them I was kind of hoping for to be a great match and possibly even, again, match of the night. But it wasn't when you have a 12-minute elimination match.
Yeah, they could have added two more minutes. You take a couple off of, you know, Shane and, you know, some later matches. And, yeah, I think it could have added a couple minutes to help with those eliminations. But I agree with all your guys' thoughts on the match itself.
And let's move. Yes, great match. I'm happy for Bailey.
Andy, before you move on, can I say one thing?
Yes.
If these four were on NXT last night, this is a 20-minute classic, guaranteed. 20? Just the way
right.
that
just 20
these women, this would have been a potential 4 to 5 star match on NXT.
Just 20 minutes? I'm thinking more like 35 to 40.
Well, I mean 20 minutes. Like, they would have at least gotten 20 minutes and been all presented as phenomenal competitors. We would have had a lot of awesome near falls, and we would have walked away and goes, wow, those four look like stars. We wouldn't be like, 12 minutes, huh? All right.
Yeah, I completely agree about that, too. One thing I was really excited about, so we had, of course, the triple threat ladder match. Roger, it seems like they listen to us. I mean, we said, why don't we have them all in the ring, and before the bell rings, the New Day comes out and says, we're going to turn it into a four-way match. And then, of course, who showed up, Roger?
I mean, it's almost like the people who put this show together listened to the podcast and was like, you know, would be a really cool idea if you put the three of them in there and then you had the New Day come out and announce a fourth team, because, you know, the crowd being in Florida would go crazy knowing that there is one team associated with ladder matches. And then the Hardy Boy music hit. And I just literally was like, this is exactly what I said. Like, I almost, you know, we all make crazy predictions that almost never come true. This was to a T exactly what we said. And it was perfect. It was well done. The Hardy Boys were fantastic in this match. I think they opened up by saying, and they're broken, which was a great little dig at, like, you know, yeah, go ahead and sue us. We make more money in a day than you guys make in a year. We ain't scared of you. And they look great. I mean, look, Jeff is insane. Like, that guy is crazy. I would not have done that in my youth, what he did today. you know, it, for only being 11 matches, I don't feel like they needed to extend it. I thought the match was a clean, crisp 11 minutes. Everybody looked like they could have won it. The right team won. I had no problem with this match. And moving forward, I think the Hardy Boys will inject some very much needed life into a stale tag team division.
And also to point out, Jeff Hardy looked happy. And the thing is, when he was in TNA, even though he was doing the character, he just didn't look happy. And then all of a sudden he comes out and he's like, yes, this is what I want. And then, so I was so, I, you know, feeding off the energy. I was like, wow, I wish I was there. But yeah, it was awesome.
Well, he looked broken in TNA. Like, yeah. He needed something to be restored.
And he literally was broken in TNA though.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was really, really exciting to see them. This was maybe match of the night, you know, like it biggest surprise. One of the things that we'll probably be talking about for a while to your guys' points.
Definitely a great candidate for match of the night, mostly not necessarily because of the actual match, but because of the Hardys coming back and winning the titles. Great spots with Matt Hardy going off the Swanton, yes, off the very top of the ladder, the twist of fate off the top of the ladder. Again, classic moments that we expect out of the Hardys that just boosted this thing. Everybody was happy. It was a great paced match. There was always somebody wrestling, which you did not feel like in any other match, maybe except for the women's Raw match, title match. Other than that, it was a great match, great spots, great finish. I'm going to give this my match of the night.
Aaron, how long was this match again?
11 minutes.
It seemed like it was a lot longer.
It was well paced. You know, that's the thing. Like it was a very well paced match, similar to like Shinsuke and Sami Zayn from last year. That match was less than 20 minutes, I want to say, but it felt like it was longer. Like I could be wrong, but it felt like a very good match. Like you felt like you got your money's worth, and it's like, oh wow, it just was paced so well. Andy, now I know your favorite match of the night was Cena. And Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maurice. Cena wins. We all expected this to happen. And again, we expected the proposal. Everybody's been saying this, so that, you know, was not uncommon. But the match itself, whatever. But the proposal at the end, was that kind of a good feel-good moment, do you think? Or was that like, what do you think about that?
Has anyone actually been proposed to in the ring, but they use the real name as well? I don't remember that at all.
Probably not.
So I thought that was kind of cool. Now I'm going to be ticked if they have this on their wedding on TV, like on like a WWE event. That would bother me. But overall,
that's an issue. I would love it to be Total Bellas, probably.
Yeah. But overall, I don't know why, but I didn't mind this match. I think Miz, it was funny. Everyone was cheering for the Miz and booing Cena, which I loved. But you know, it was a feel good moment seeing him, him propose to her, and you know it was coming because they kept hinting towards it. But I feel bad for the Miz because those promos he put out were so great, and I didn't like the fact that Cena buried him on SmackDown. But in a way, I just see Miz doing something more for some reason. I think that he didn't get hurt, which I was afraid of. But
I mean, it was what it was. You know, nice little feel good moment. It's probably good for Cena. You know, it's a way for a good send off for him. You know, not much else really to say about this match.
I would say the thing that really was probably the OMG moment of that when he pulled that rock out.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
That, I mean, like, look, the match itself was not even worth talking about. But he opened that thing and I there were three of us in the room and all of us had the same reaction of like, wow. I was like, look, I don't like your matches, Cena, and I'm not into you. But you pull out a ring like that, I probably would have said yes. Like, that thing was huge. Like, man, okay. Like, that probably violates one of John Cena's house rules. But that thing is massive. Like, you know, you don't say no to that. Like, you saw the look on her face when she saw it. She's like, oh, yeah, yes, right now.
All right, so, Andy, the next match that we had Rollins versus Triple H, non-sanctioned match. The quick analysis here, we all picked Rollins except for you, Andy, which...
Can we start by talking about that? Because I think we asked him, why did you go Hunter when it was so obvious that he wasn't going to win? And now having seen this match, do you feel dumb?
I do feel dumb. I should just pick Seth Rollins. But, I mean, because even though I should just pick Seth Rollins because maybe Samoa Joe does come down and hurt him, but I'm glad that that didn't happen. But it wouldn't surprise me if now we see a Rollins Samoa Joe, feud going on from here on out. But yeah, I also picked it because I was like, you know, everyone's picking Rollins, and I could see Triple H with an ego. But you know, after I picked it, Roger, you made a great point. He created Seth Rollins, not, you know, he. So I get it. He didn't create Sting, so he wasn't going to put him over. So I get that. So
the one thing about this match, too, is it was 25 minutes long, and that was 10 minutes too long, in my opinion. You know, I think this should have been 15 minutes. It's a non-sanctioned match. You know, it had a nice spot with Stephanie going through the table, Triple H being pissed off. But 15 minutes. I mean, that 10 minutes, way too long. Way too long.
I like the police escort and Triple H riding a motorcycle down the ramp while the hurt Seth Rollins had to walk.
And by the way, where was Tripp's glasses that he's required to wear in the state of Florida? It's sometimes sunglasses. He didn't have them on. I'm surprised they didn't, you know, ram a ticket. But
my, I guess, kind of like chuckle moment was when, you know, they did the closing spot and Hunter went to run into Stephanie. And look, if you ask me to hit my wife to knock her to a table, I'm going to be as gentle as possible. So I get it. But like, geez, he like gave her the softest love touch I think I've ever seen Triple H deliver, where he just kind of like bumped her and like blew a kiss before she like gingerly fell into the table. You know, they tried to sell it. It's like, oh my God, vicious moment. It was like, A, I didn't even remember there was a table out there because he set it up like 10 minutes before. And like B, you barely touched her, so like it looked more or less like she kind of just fell into the pool. So I was like, all right, whatever. Like, it was funny, but I couldn't imagine Hunter winning this match. And though when he hit the pedigree, I think both of us went, oh, that's it. Like, he's gonna win. Mm-hmm. So good match, good false finish, but it just was too long. 25 minutes. And we said this last year about Hunter's match. You don't need to do these 25 minute matches when you're not in the main event, and you don't have. It's like, just do a 15 minute match. Just do a good quality match.
They should have taken 5 minutes away from this match and put it to the Raw Women's Title match. And then I think it would have saved that. You know, and also one thing to point out, Roger, you got this right and none of us got this next match right.
I have one thought though for the Triple H Rollins match. I think they need to open up Raw with Rollins calling 911 and reporting a domestic battery from yesterday and Triple H being arrested. And then Stephanie being out of the show for the rest of the night, trying to get Triple H out of jail.
And then they bring Kurt Angle in for the Raw GM position.
There you go.
Oh, I mean, they won't make a domestic violence joke because that would not get them good press. No. But I would totally be fine with Stephanie not being there because of the table bump. And then the new GM or interim GM is, you know, Kurt Angle, like you said.
And now, Roger, you got this next match, right? You got Randy. It was Randy versus Bray Wyatt. We all picked that Bray was going to retain, but Randy won. And what were your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, this was not Lesnar Ambrose from last year where I thought you guys were all crazy and I went 95-5. Like, this was, I think I said 51-49 or 55-45. I saw purposes for both, but moving forward, I just didn't think there were enough opponents for Wyatt if he retained, because they don't really have a ton of faces. Whereas I feel like Orton's victory allows him to face a lot of different people, right? He's still got the feud with Harper that he can close. He can go move on to a feud with AJ. He can move on to a feud with Corbin if he wanted to, even with Ambrose if you want to go face versus face, or Cena down the road at SummerSlam. So it's like, I just felt like Orton was probably the move that they were going to go. You know, and I've said it before, they've always kneecapped Wyatt right before he can do something special. And this was another example of, like, if he wins, he beat Orton at WrestleMania. That's a big deal, which meant he wasn't going to win. And sure enough, out of nowhere, Orton just kind of put him down. And you were kind of like, I mean, I think when he pinned him, both of us were like, wait, that's it? Mm-hmm. And I mean, this was a world championship match that you built up from, I think, No Mercy to WrestleMania, including the Royal Rumble winner. And you gave him 10 minutes and 30 seconds. And yet you gave Hunter and Rollins 25. And you gave AJ and Shane 20. It's like you couldn't get at least 5 more minutes for this match, for the match that you built an entire feud around. And let me say one more thing about this, and this is the same criticism I had about Orton's match with Hunter at 25. You burn the man's house down. Why is this a standard one-on-one match? Why isn't this no holds barred, street fight, cage match, first blood, last man standing, something to show that these two are trying to kill each other? Because he burned his house down and essentially killed the remains of Sister Abigail. I'm now going to get my revenge on you in a normal wrestling match. Just didn't feel like this was a WrestleMania match.
I love the, again, this was a really cool, we didn't get to really experience this last year because we were in the seats with us on our phones doing the Fireflies, but to actually witness it from this side was actually, I think, a little bit more gratifying this time. It was amazing watching him do that long walk down. I think the head games with this one, with the mat changing to an image of the worms, I mean, although new and creative, just didn't do anything for me. Overall, I wanted to see Wyatt win. I wanted to see him get elevated. A WrestleMania match win, a pay-per-view win would have been great for him. But that's just not what Wyatt is. Maybe, that's just going to be his gimmick, is he can't win anything on a pay-per-view except for one or two matches. I was really hoping that this would elevate him and continue his run as a champion. But like Roger said, they kneecapped him right when he started getting something good. It was just a long feud, a long story, and it ended quickly and abruptly and, in my opinion, stupidly. But Orton wins. He'll be a good champion for SmackDown, but it could have been a lot better.
And when I picked Wyatt to win, one of the reasons why is because in the next match, we all picked Lesnar to win, which was pretty much a foregone conclusion. And I didn't think that they were going to have two world title changes in the same, Mania, let alone back to back, which obviously they had done. And I really feel, same thing that you guys are saying about Wyatt, this would have really elevated him far beyond what the rest of the field is doing. And I don't think he's won a WrestleMania match, to my knowledge.
He's 0-and...
Because he lost to Cena and Taker.
Yeah, he's 0-2.
So 0-3.
0-3.
Yeah, 0-3 now.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's not good, especially if this is somebody who's supposed to be taking over as the Undertaker, that spooky individual. That's not a good start. And the last point I want to make is that this is the fourth WWE title change in 4 months. AJ, Cena, Wyatt, Orton. And this is a case right here where Cena probably shouldn't have won. AJ should have lost at Elimination Chamber to Wyatt, and then Wyatt should have retained. That's, in my opinion, what they should have done. Unfortunately, they had other plans.
To draw one more final parallel between this match and last year's Lesnar-Ambrose is that both of these were examples of where the guy who wasn't as established would have gained something significantly more by getting a victory. And the reason I picked against it was simply because it was not the smart thing to do. So I assume that's what WWE would do.
So the Doug strategy.
truthfully, though, if you think about it, like Ambrose winning, if he had been built up properly, would have been a big moment. But I knew he wasn't built up properly and he wasn't going to get that win. This year, I felt like they're going to go with their golden boy Orton instead of probably the smart move and let Wyatt go over and move forward so he become a big type of like supernatural spooky force. They go, nope, let's cut him off right here and just give the title to Orton for the 13th time. And it's just, again, constant mistakes. And like we said on the pick show, missed opportunities.
And the one thing I thought was awesome in the middle of the ring, they had the maggots and they also had like crickets as well. They had the imagery on there. I guess I missed the one with Triple H's face everywhere, but I thought that they did an excellent job with doing the stuff they did in the ring. Missed opportunity. But something that I was actually so pleasantly surprised was Lesnar versus Goldberg. It didn't bother me. I thought it was going to really, really suck. Of course, Lesnar is your new champion. But, Doug, what did you think about the match?
I liked it. It was short. It was to the point. It was a solid match. You had 10 suplexes, 4 spears, quick pace right from the beginning. You had one spear that went through the barricade. It was, you knew it was going to be a quick match. It was probably, just under 5 minutes. So when we took the over-under for the 5 minutes, I think.
4:45.
Right. So just under the 5 minutes is a good mark set by me. And I should go to Vegas and do that now. I am glad that it wasn't the main event because it wasn't under 5 minutes, but it was a good solid match. This was a great, I mean, it wasn't a great match, but it was right to the point. It did what it was supposed to do. You have Lesnar win, and Goldberg can walk off into the sunset and be happy. Yeah, I am very interested to see now what Lesnar does in the future with this. So, good overall.
I was a little disappointed that it didn't hit the 5 minute mark that I had set. Over under 5 minutes. I said just over, barely. I said 7 minutes, I thought. But, I thought it did what it needed to do. This, was better than their last match. But, I was pleasantly surprised, but I also was expecting a zero.
I also not only was I pleasantly surprised, I'm actually disappointed this ended up not being the main event, because this felt like an old school heavyweight fight. Like, this was like those old Tyson matches that you would watch where, it's not going to go 12 rounds. Somebody's getting knocked out in a round or two. And Goldberg and Lesnar came out. And look, when he came out with those triple, the only part that I really didn't like in this match was Brock came out like a monster and hit triple German. And Goldberg completely no-sold that and just got up and speared him. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, he has put down everybody and you're just going to pop up like it didn't happen. But for the 4 minutes that they had, they put a lot in there. Goldberg did two moves. I think Brock did two moves. And they threw them at each other. They tried to go for the kill. Brock finally, I think, 10 suplexes is what he gave him, and finally put him down with an F5. When he hit that fourth spear, we were like, oh, it's over. Goldberg's going to win for a third time. Good false finish. Got, like Doug said, right to the point. Not the greatest match, but they did what they needed to do, which is make Brock look like a monster. I don't necessarily know that he won the feud overall, because Goldberg obviously still beat him quicker and eliminated him twice. And I think this match is what they should have done at Survivor Series. But not a bad match, just a good quality one round fight.
So congratulations to Brock Lesnar being the new Universal Champion. I'm wondering what they're going to do with him from here. So I guess we'll find out tonight on Raw. So next we had Alexa Bliss, who was the champion, we'll say, taking on Becky Lynch, Natalia, Carmella, Mickey James, and Naomi. And of course, I believed it was going to happen as soon as she came back on SmackDown. Which I believe what they should have done is waited till WrestleMania to announce that she was there. That's my beef with this. Overall, the match was pretty good. There were some sloppy moments, but I was pretty happy seeing Ellsworth get involved too. I thought that was hilarious. But congratulations on Naomi to winning.
This is 40 seconds, 50 seconds longer than the Lesnar Goldberg match. This could have used a couple more minutes, I didn't pick Naomi to win, and I figured Alexa Bliss, somebody's going to retain. It was Bayley, but kudos to her, hometown girl getting a win. She has a good entrance, and she'll be able to say she's a 2-time SmackDown Women's Champion. So good for her.
They gave away who was clearly the star of the show in the entrances. All five of the other ladies, and Alexa got a quality entrance, but they devoted a lot of time to Naomi's entrance. Like, you could tell when she was dancing around the middle of the ring and the other five were just watching. I was like, I wonder who's winning this match. The one thing I will gripe about this match is that they built it up as all available SmackDown women and implied that something was coming, whether it was a mystery entrant or a return. And you wasted Naomi's return on a SmackDown. And then no one else came out. It was like, why didn't you just say this is a 6-way match? So to me, I think they overpromised and underdelivered. Match was, it was all right for the 5 minutes. It was kind of sloppy with Natalya's couple botches, but I'm fine with Naomi winning. She's a 2-time champ, whatever. Hopefully they do more with the division going forward, but not the worst match I've seen. But this is a lot better than Divas matches we used to get, so I'll live with it.
I thought it was a decent match. Again, it was short to the point. I think actually Bliss looked good during it. She had a great, her character aspect was great. She would constantly run in and do some offense, but then once somebody else came in, she rolled out of the ring. I thought that was great for her part. I actually was very surprised by a double sharpshooter. I thought that move was pretty impressive. Sloppily done. There was a little bit of a drop, but again, impressive. Hopefully Becky doesn't come out looking like that ever again. I'm surprised the crowd didn't yell, "You look stupid." Overall, like I said, short match to the point. It did what it was supposed to do. And you know what? Congratulations to Naomi. I really, 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 really was expecting a surprise entrance and was super bummed that nobody else came out, especially since I picked Asuka. So I knew right away when Naomi was coming down and they said that this was a six-pack challenge, I was done.
And we move on to the main event of the night. Of course, we had JR come out for it, so I was really happy to see Jim Ross back, and it looks like he's signed for the WWE for a long time now. Kudos to him for that. And of course, we had Roman Reigns versus Undertaker. I was calling how long Taker's everything for his entrance, and we had 11 minutes. Some people had I picked 5, so I was right. I was close, 6 minutes. But overall, the entrance was really good. Taker did not have to walk all the way down the ring. He only had to walk halfway up, so I was happy about that part of it. So he wasn't gassed. This match, of course, it turned out, Roman Reigns won, but other things happened as well. And Aaron, do you want to elaborate on this?
Yeah. So I was a little, we pretty much knew Reigns was going to win, but they had some really good moments in there, especially when Reigns had speared Taker. I want to say it was like 4 or 5 times to put him down, because he did the one through the table and then he did a few others in the ring. And there was the one where it's like, oh, this is it. And Taker got up and was like, you're going to need to do more than that, boy, sort of thing.
You don't have the balls to kill me, I think is what he said.
And Reigns did the back and forth and then did the spear to end it. Reigns showed some heelish tendencies, but with the way that they've been booking him, they haven't been booking him in such a way that it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be a heel. And tomorrow night when he comes out on Raw, he is going to be booed incessantly by that crowd. Number one, because it's Reigns. Number two, because he retired the Undertaker, because Undertaker pretty much said he was done. So I'm so confused at how they're booking Roman Reigns. I don't get it. And it's not the like, oh, they know what's going on, so they're going to go ahead and like really sow the seed and make it go on a really long time. They should pull the ripcord right now. This is like very similar to John Cena a few years ago. They could have turned him heel and then turned him back face and it would have been fine. But, you get to a point where you can't turn him heel anymore. He's always going to be a face then. And I think they're doing that right now with Reigns. They're so set that he is only a face that if they, we shouldn't do this now because he's the next John Cena. Cena's leaving us, so he's the next John Cena. He has to save face. And he would be so much more over as a heel, especially after the stuff that he did tonight.
Yeah, this match was bad. I'm not even going to sugarcoat that. Like, this was Undertaker is one of the greatest of all time. But, like they say, you're always the last one to know it's time to hang it up. And I think we passed the point of no return with Taker, so we got what we expected. Roman is not AJ Styles. He's not going to carry you to a 4- and 5-star match. This was way too long for one. Like, look, Brock and Roman had a good 15-minute match. Undertaker did not need 25 minutes in this match. You could have cut 10 of this out and gotten to the point of, Taker is taking everything that Roman can hit him with. And there was a moment where I think he hit him with that fourth spear and he pinned him and he couldn't put him away. I think he hit him with a couple chair shots, hit him with the spear, and Taker says what he says about, you don't have what it takes to kill me. That, in my opinion, was the moment, and it was very similar to X7, where Austin couldn't put away Rock, and he said, okay, I'm going to annihilate you with the chair, and that was kind of the catalyst for the heel turn. To me, this is where Roman could have finally said, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of Undertaker not going down. I'm sick of the fans not respecting me. I'm sick of all of it, and he just unleashes a savage beating. Like, not just this stupid double rope spear, which I'm not even sure why that even bounces and gives you more momentum, but he just, 15 to 20 chair shots and puts him through a table with the old power bomb, and finally he spears him and, just let the crowd go absolutely nuts with the boos and really make it so that Roman is now the number one bad guy moving forward, so that you could go Roman versus Seth, or, I just feel like you had so many more options because now he's the guy who ended the Undertaker. That's not a good thing. Like, it's not like Undertaker Shawn, where they're both respected and beloved by the fans. This is a guy we don't already like is getting a super push even further. We're going to boo him even more now.
I thought with this match again, the slow pace was kind of understandable due to the fact that Undertaker, and I hate saying it, he should be able to go out when he wanted to go out, but at the same time, you gotta know when to hang it up. Undertaker should have hung it up. I mean, when I went to the Survivor Series down in Atlanta, that I think should have been it. that was a great match in the aspect of, you know, you had Kane in there. You had, it was a tag team match against the Wyatts. It was a good match. It was a good match to leave everything there. It was an anniversary of him appearing. I hate digging into this match because of the fact that it is Taker, and he does deserve all the respect for everything that he's done over the years, the behind-the-scenes stuff that he does for all the people, taking people under his wing and helping them out, being the judge in the wrestler's court and everything that he's done. But this was horrible. This is a horrible way to go out. My biggest LOL moment of this night was the fact that Roman Reigns is the strong man, and he couldn't get up Undertaker for what I think was he was going to do a tombstone to him. And he dropped him like two or three times before finally doing a Superman punch, which to me was absolutely hilarious. And I think Roman Reigns should be charged with elder abuse.
Yeah, and the sad part came at the very end of this match. So Roman Reigns walks away, which I was excited about because, you know, I don't want to see him anymore. But then Taker just stood there and he just took his gloves off, just got, you know, put back his ring attire on and then took it off and left it in the ring. You know, one sign that wrestlers do is that sometimes they'll take off the wrestling boots, leave it in the ring, and they go away. That was the one thing that when this happened, a friend of mine, Dave Pate, was like, he's done. He's really, really done. And he walked out and it took 15 minutes, but I believe he deserved it. So, Doug, what'd you think?
Overall for WrestleMania, it was better than expected. I bet you guys didn't see that coming. I gave it a 4 out of 10 to begin with this match, and I'm walking away with a 5 out of 10.
And I agree with that. I think it's like a 5 out of 10 now. And I think it's because the pace was so good and there was some matches that I will remember, but I'm very, very happy on how the outcome was.
You know, I would say like 5 out of 10, you know, like a, you know, 2.5 stars out of 5 sort of deal. I think it was very middle of the road. I think we'll probably remember this as being a middle of the road WrestleMania. You're only as good as the last match. And I feel that Taker leaving his stuff in the ring was really cool. But the, you know, there's just so much of it. And do you want to do our closing thoughts now, Andy, or do you want to go ahead and go? Let's go ahead and go with that then. One of the things about this, and I'm going to get into a very small rant here, so I apologize, is that here on the West Coast, this started at 2 o'clock and it ended at 9 o'clock. That is 7 hours of wrestling. And on the East Coast, 2 o'clock is 5 o'clock, you know, so that's probably cool for them. They're like, oh, 5 o'clock, we get wrestling, you know, ends at midnight. And so the people in Orlando, they're like, oh, God, like, can this be over? And they probably were thinking about that with Taker and Roman. If this was only 4 hours, and I'm talking, you know, with a pre-show, maybe 30 minutes, you know, dark match or something like that. But like 4 hours long, you know, they probably would be like, oh, OK, you know, like, yeah, it was a little long, but I got really good quality matches in there. I mean, yeah, you'd have to cut a couple out or, you know, shave the matches down, or maybe don't have all those packages that you do for so long. You could speed up the process. And I think that's the thing. If somebody knew was coming into this because they heard Lesnar versus Goldberg, oh, that's gonna be cool, I'm gonna subscribe to the network, they're probably thinking like, oh my God, like, this is so long, like, when is this gonna be over? Because the main show itself was 5 hours long, you know, the you have the pre-show, which was 2 hours. So way too much wrestling. And the show itself was okay, you know, and I think if you shaved it down, if you shaved this to just 4 hours from that 7, I think this could be a 6 or 7 out of 10. You know, I think that this could be a more memorable WrestleMania. But with all that stuff that's going on, it really hurts the product, I believe.
I echo your thoughts entirely. 7, and we've said this before, I think we talked about this at SummerSlam, they can't even do 4 hours of good quality television to keep me entertained through SummerSlam. They had no chance of doing 7 quality hours of television. They just don't have that in them. As far as the actual show goes, I think this sorely lacked WrestleMania moments. Like, you know, last year didn't have the match card, but we will always talk about Shane jumping off the cell. That was unbelievably insane to see live. And just even if you watched it on the network, it was crazy. You know, 31 had the cash in. 30 had Bryan winning the title and finally becoming the guy. 29 was the last pay-per-view that I'd say didn't really have a good WrestleMania moment. This reminds me a lot of 29. I think to start, so if you go from like 1 through 7, building up to a pretty quality pay-per-view. You had, you know, AJ in a good match. You had the Hardy Boys return. I think that was the peak of the night. After that, the card went downhill. You know, that was your ultimate thrill ride because that went to the bottom of the roller coaster. After that, you had either matches that went way too long, matches that didn't get enough time, or matches that just weren't very good. In the case of Roman Reigns and Taker, 2 out of 3. Look, this is a 3 or 4 out of 10. I think the main event is one of the bottom 5 of all time as far as from the modern era going from 15 on. Roman Taker, the only thing that I thought was good was the quad spear just to see Taker sit up. And there was no match here that was 4 stars or above. There was nothing about this where I felt like we got a classic match. And to me, if this is the one pay-per-view of the year that you say that I should be watching, what about this sold your product to entice me to come back? Seeing Undertaker go, obviously that's a big moment, will never be replicated. But the best match of the night was probably an 11-minute ladder match only because the Hardys came back. That's not good storytelling. That's not a good card. And this was not an acceptable event with the amount of talent that you had. Last year, I gave you a pass because everybody was hurt. This year, this is on your creative. This sucked. And you have no excuse for that. You have too much talent for this card not to have been at least good, let alone phenomenal.
I understand that WrestleMania is supposed to be the end of feuds and everything else. And this is the end of the season, this, you know, season finale and everything like that. But I really think they need to rethink that aspect. Taker-Roman Reigns match would have been so much better had Braun Strowman interfered. Just so that Roman Reigns would have somebody else to go after while Undertaker caught his breath for a little bit. Braun could even hit the Undertaker. It was a no-holds-barred match that I was a little confused that they had a rope break in a no-holds-barred match. Apparently, I'm not up to my rules on that one.
Yeah. And I think we said that last time they had a no-holds-barred match. Yes. They broke it, and we were like, wait, it's no-holds-barred. Just keep the hold in.
Right. So I think that and I expected Braun to come out because of the fact that he went out so early in that match. I was like, well, this is because they're going to save him and he's going to show up early in the Undertaker match and that'll help it go on. I mean, you could still have Roman Reigns beat the Undertaker for the 1-2-3. That way you keep Braun even strong, looking strong. You have Roman look strong, but you have the Undertaker. I mean, he could have chokeslammed Braun. He rolls out. Spear by Roman Reigns and the 1-2-3 Undertaker win, or Roman Reigns wins. It would have been a lot better. And maybe I missed it. Did Samoa Joe even show up for WrestleMania? So here is this big person that you're supposed to have, and people are probably going to try to put him over for, you know, your future aspect for at least for the next couple of years. Big guy never even shows up. I don't mind a run in. I don't mind. You could still have Rollins win that match and everything be fine, but it just seemed the points that looked long could have been filled with somebody else appearing, doing something. And, but they weren't. So it needs to change. They need to be better and creative. You know, this will be always remembered probably as Taker's last match. And that's the only thing that you're going to take away from this is that Taker's last match and the Hardys returned. Oh, yay. So going forward, they've got a lot of new storylines they're going to have to go off of, because I think that some feuds that deserve to continue on ended and aren't going to be continued on. And then there's some feuds that are just, you know, it's. Let's hope that going forward they have something in mind or anything like that, because I'm not necessarily looking forward to this Raw like I have been in past years. Lesnar is the only part that I am looking forward to finding out what they plan to do with, and that is it.
What about the Hardys? Because that's what I'm looking forward to.
I appreciate the Hardys being back. I think I would have been happier if they were on SmackDown, though. Where they needed tag team help. They don't necessarily need tag team help on Raw. I'm excited that they're back. I'm excited that they won. I think it's kind of funny that they continue on a storyline from TNA that they're going to go win all the belts from all the places, and they do that tonight. That's part of the enjoyment. But how long is that going to last? Is my question.
And just very minor fun fact here is that the Hardy Boys have held the TNA, Ring of Honor, and WWE Raw tag titles in the span of 1 month. And they've actually fought for three different championships in the span of 2 days in two different promotions.
And they fought the Bullet Club in two separate promotions in the span of 3 days.
Yeah.
Also, does SmackDown have tag team titles?
They do, yeah.
Because I'm almost wondering, should the Hardys just win the SmackDown tag team titles at this point?
Because I actually was kind of hoping for that. I hope they do that.
I hope they delete them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think they should delete one of those tag team titles.
Yes, I do agree. And, you know, one thing I want to point out also, the presentation for WrestleMania this year, I like the ramp. The ramp was really cool, how it was all an LED board. And Seth Rollins, I didn't realize how good they were doing until Seth Rollins came down with a torch and then lit it on fire. That was awesome. That was
kind of also a little glitch, but the idea was, I think, great.
Yeah, and they did that also with Naomi, Reigns.
Orton, he had the snake, right?
That's right.
Yep.
So I thought they did so presentation-wise, this is probably the best presentation of a WrestleMania I've seen. And I wish that I could have taken that and put it when Seth won it. But also, I want to point something out. When Seth won it, when won the title and cashed in, that was an awesome moment. But this one, it didn't have any of that. If you subtract, and that saved it, by the way, Seth Rollins saved WrestleMania. This year, the Hardys saved WrestleMania, and also Undertaker retiring saved it. If that, I would argue it could be like a 3 out of 10. But in this case, you know, I'm pushing up to a 5 in this. But that's because we saw the Hardys and Taker. But one thing, great to see the Hardys. You know, sad to see the Undertaker go. I think SmackDown still got the shaft on so many of these matches, and I believe that I wouldn't be surprised if the guys who write SmackDown were fuming, like, we don't even want a WrestleMania. We should have our own WrestleMania, and we could do the same thing. But overall,
they at least got Mojo winning the Andre the
Giant. Oh my gosh! I don't even come on, Gronk. Jeez, Aaron's right. So, clickbait.
So the final tally here, I unfortunately got the least with 6 out of 13, right? Sad day for me. Andy, you and Doug tied at 7. And Roger, for the second year in a row now, you got 10 out of 13. 10. 10. 10. The only ones you missed, of course, was the Cruiserweight, the Armbar, the Battle Royal, and then the tag titles, which, you know, to be fair, the last two, you know, anyone can miss those.
I feel like the tag team titles I should get 10.5 because I called the Hardys coming back. So I didn't pick them, though. I should have listened to you and just stuck with that. But I'm fine with my 10 out of 13. I'm not bad about that. As you're defending, reigning, and still king of the WrestleMania picks, I'm surprised I got this many right. I think I mentioned to you guys after we were done, I was like, I'm not 100% confident on a lot of these picks. They clearly listened to the show, because on two separate occasions, they did exactly what I said they were going to do. Strange show. I don't know. It felt like it was lacking something. So I'm happy I got the picks right. You know, I plan on parlaying this into the first pick of our next fantasy draft is the WrestleMania champion.
I have one final question for everybody here. And Andy, I want to start with you. Obviously, we were at last year's WrestleMania. This one we had to watch at home. What did you think? Are you comparing, you know, 32 to 33? Did you think 33 was a better show, or did you think 32 was a better show?
I think 32 was a better show still. I just wish, I think the present, I mean, if you take out the fact that we waited for 2 hours to go down to our seats, yeah, I mean, it was a better show. I mean, that was my beef with WrestleMania. This year, like I said, presentation was awesome, and I wish they would have had that when we went. And that would have, to me, I think my opinion would have changed more, like, as in more, like, it was more entertaining. But overall, it was WrestleMania. But now we have to see what happens on Raw and SmackDown. I mean, that's what we have to do, and also what could potentially happen on NXT. But yeah, so it's just there.
What about you, Doug? What do you think? 32 or 33?
I'm a little torn on this in the aspect of thinking about it. Matches wise, I think 33 had better matches. Maybe it was because there's 13 of them. The women's match, though, at 32, definitely a lot better. At least the Raw women's match. But I think you got to go with what was the last match, and maybe it's the fans' respect for Undertaker that they didn't hijack the ending, which is why I think 33 was a little bit better, is the fact that 32, nobody cared about the main event. Everybody was cheering for somebody else or doing this. This one at least kept the crowd's attention, mostly probably because it was the Undertaker, or that they did better editing from this side than, you know, obviously we were there, we could hear all the chants, but I didn't hear those chants in the main event this year, so I'm gonna overall give it just a slight edge to this year than last year.
Ty, there's really a lot of, and there's a lot of parallels if you look at this crappy main event with Roman Reigns. I would say both of them are bottom five. I said this last year. I'm echoing my thoughts. I feel the same way, actually. I'm not as angry this time because I didn't pay for a ticket to go there, but I'm just as disappointed this year as I was last year. I think you had maybe one match. Both of them had quality ladder matches. I would say last year had obviously the women's match that I thought was 4 stars and up. I don't know what I gave it last year, but it was easily the match of the night last year. You had a quality AJ Styles match facing someone he shouldn't have been facing at Mania. I mean, you know, you had Shane McMahon. I mean, it was just, it's weird that for the second straight year, they have just disappointed. The only thing I guess I can give 32 the advantage for is that they were working with a depleted roster. I understood why that card sucked. I don't get this one. I mean, just the construction of this card was so weird to me that I just can't say it was good, because I have... You know, like if I'm a football team and my starting quarterback and my receiver and my running back and my corner and my left tackle are out, you go, well, of course you had a bad year. Like, everybody's out. You had your full roster of guys. Why? Why was this so bad? Like, this didn't happen in the Attitude Era, right? Remember X7? That was great. You remember 19? That was great. 21, solid card, disappointing main events. This top to bottom, there's not a single match on this card that was 4 stars. They had 2 WrestleMania moments. And one of them is Undertaker leaving. This was as disappointing as 32 was. And that's saying something, because at least we knew why we were disappointed at 32. I'm not sure why this was so disappointing.
Yeah, and, you know, for 32, I'd say 32 is a little bit better than 33, mostly because the women's match was a 4-star match. You know, Jericho and AJ, while, yes, we had seen it before, and that was unfortunate, that still was a good quality match and a better match than AJ's other match. Shane and Taker had the moment, you know, and that was the thing. It had the moment that, you know, I think that we pretty much paid to see, you know, was that. You know, and even the Battle Royal was kind of interesting. You know, to see Shaq come out, I was like, what?
He's Shaq, huge, by
Shaq,
the way.
Shaq is what? You know, that was kind of cool to see, you know, and obviously the ladder match. So I think that it was a little bit better in that regard. But at the same time, you know, the Hardys was probably the biggest moment, you know. So, I mean, I echo your thoughts. I'm, you know, you're asking me, you have to pick one no matter what. I'm saying 32. But just barely, you know, like a, you know, a 2 versus a 2.5 star, you know, sort of thing.
A D minus, you know, is better than an F.
Yeah. I mean, very, very, very similar. And yeah, I mean, the parallels that you had mentioned, very, very similar.
So overall, it was a good WrestleMania. I want to congratulate Dave Nanigay for winning the pool or the prize at my house tonight. He got 9 out of 13. The other guys, Dave got 7. I'm sorry, 6, and Ty got a 5 out of 13. Of course, I got the 7.
He won with only 9? I'm disappointed in that performance. Nine should not be victorious.
Well,
that wasn't
9.
Even glorious enough to get to double digits.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's not the, you got 10. Double A level.
No, that is not an A double level, in my opinion.
Considering he doesn't watch wrestling, he still got 9, so I was a little mad at him because of that.
But. That is impressive.
But anyways, I just want to thank the guys who came over to watch the show. So. Overall, it's WrestleMania, but I can't wait till we talk about our next show, which will be at the end of this month. So any final thoughts, guys? Doug?
Final thoughts going out of this. And like I said, I was more pumped, I think, last year than I was this year, seeing what was going to happen on Raw. I'm not really pumped about Raw this time, except to see where Lesnar's coming. And to hope that there's going to be some call-ups that, you know, certain DIY and Revival, looking forward to seeing them hopefully up on the main roster, because they, again, had the match of the weekend with AOP. So, you know what? You take the last dying breath, I guess, maybe out of NXT. You bring up Nakamura. You bring up Rude. You just, and you bring OVW back, I guess. I don't know. That's all I really got.
Well, first off, I'm still the champ. That's my takeaway from this. But I would say I think the last 2 years we made the right decision. I was, even though WrestleMania was disappointing last year, I was glad that we went, because I think we saw NXT at its peak. I think we saw one of the best cards of all time, and that alone made the trip worthwhile. And it was fun. We got to see WrestleMania moments last year, right? We got to see the legends. We got to see Shane fall off the cell. We got to see The Rock come back. You know, there was things to experience that even if the card wasn't very good, it still felt like WrestleMania. This year, I would have been so angry getting on that flight, coming home for 6 hours to watch what was an okay NXT show. Not bad, not great, not last year. And a bad WrestleMania that really lacked WrestleMania moments. Like, it didn't feel like WrestleMania to me. I said that going in. And look, Taker going obviously was a WrestleMania moment. The Hardys returning was a WrestleMania moment. And that's it. And that was 7 hours for two moments. Your return on investment there is not enough, in my opinion. If you're going to have me sit through 7 hours of television, you better give me more than two moments. And let's see what they do going forward. I had low expectations going in. At one point, they cleared them, and then they dove right off the cliff, especially with Roman flipping Reigns getting the super push. I never thought I would say that Cena's super push of 05 to 08 would not be the worst push I'd seen in the modern era. And now, looking at what Roman has done and is about to do when he beats Brock next year, is like, are you kidding me right now? Like, this is Hulk Hogan level pushing. And it's not going to end for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. And, you know, we had talked about potentially going back to WrestleMania, and knowing what the rumored WrestleMania 34 card is, you know, just the main event. I'm glad that we're not going to go. I'm glad that it's not in our area, you know, so that way we have an excuse that we don't want to go to this. I am disappointed in this year's WrestleMania. I was very happy to see the Hardys. I think that's probably the biggest thing for me of the night, but you know, the first seven matches, whatever it was, you know, it was like, you're telling a great story here, and then it just dove off a cliff. And that's why 7 hours of wrestling is too much for any 7 hours of anything. You know, the Super Bowl itself is it's a normal football game. It is 4 15-minute quarters. That is it. You know, they don't say, oh, it's the Super Bowl, let's go ahead and extend it, you know. Let's make this 10 hours long. Yes, they have all this pre-show crap that they do, and that's fine. But, you know, with WrestleMania, you can't do that. You can't. And you look back at, as Roger had said, 17 or 19. You look at those WrestleManias, which are 3 hours, 3.5 hours long, and they're good. They are, you know, 9-10 matches that are in a 3 to 4 hour block. You know, this had 13 matches in the span of 7 hours. That's way too much. Way too much, you know. So, overall, it was okay. I'm looking forward to the next WrestleMania that we go to. So 35. this one, it is what it is.
Okay. Closing question before you go, Andy. And I forgot to ask this. Rate this main event all time. Now I'll start with Doug.
Oh, God. I really don't know. I mean, the only thing that's like is the saving grace of this main event is this is the last time we see Taker. At least in a match. I don't know. I agree. It's a bottom five, bottom three, even probably. Roman Reigns probably has two out of the three bottom three main events at WrestleMania. And this is the guy that we're going to be fed for the rest of our next upcoming few years. I don't understand it. I do not understand it whatsoever. And this only adds to my hatred for Roman Reigns, the character.
Andy?
I will say Roman Reigns, two, yes, bottom five, easily. There's no doubt about it. And that's, I guess, my problem with that. But and you know, like Doug, what you just said, they're pushing him like he's Hulk Hogan, and I'm sorry, I don't care. I just don't care.
For me, it's I'm going to say bottom 10 for all WrestleManias. And the main reason I say that is because, you know, you have WrestleMania 1's main event, 2, 3.
One wasn't
event,
really
you know,
that bad.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was a tag team match like with Mr. T. You know, I would put that in the bottom, probably bottom 5, I would think. But, you know, I would say bottom 10 are the last two Roman Reigns matches, you know, in my opinion. I would put them in there. So probably even close to the bottom 5. I don't know if it would break the bottom 5, though.
To close, there was a point that Andy made, I think it was last year, and I kind of gave you a little bit of crap about that. I was like, you know, Cena has really evolved into a good wrestler. And I said, you know, 10 years ago, none of us would have said that. We'd have never appreciated Cena. We couldn't stand his super push. And I now sit here eating a little bit of crow because I legitimately miss when this was John Cena at 21, 22, 23, 24, because look, his matches weren't great, but Orton versus Cena or Cena versus Hunter or Cena versus JBL, they were way better than what we just got from Roman. That two out of maybe the three or five, or if you want to extend it out to what Aaron said in bottom 10, this is the guy who's going to be the face of your company. And he's been in three consecutive WrestleMania main events, and two of them might have been three of the worst matches you've ever seen. You want to know why WrestleMania 32 and WrestleMania 33 sucked? Look at the guy at the top of the card. This didn't happen when Austin was at the top of the card. This didn't happen when The Rock was at the top of the card. This didn't even really happen when Cena was at the top of the card. And I don't like Cena that much, but Roman Reigns makes John Cena look closer to AJ Styles than anyone ever thought it would happen. So I hope that in 10 years, Roman Reigns can improve, but he has not shown me that much of improvement so far. If this were Cena Taker, this is a better match.
I completely agree with that too. So,
yep.
Anyway, so that's all the time we have for the 8th annual WrestleMania special. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at AuthMork86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Roger Cave, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.